Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix. Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Federated just wants to say thanks to all local businesses in and around the state of Minnesota. You are our community partners, our neighbors, our families, and our friends. And when you need Federated, Federated is here to help. Visit federatedinsurance.com or call your local marketing representative to access trusted resources you may need during this pandemic. At Federated, it's our business to protect yours.
TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand.
Always fun, crazy. It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Royce Unchained.
So, Patrick Royce, you watched some football this weekend?
Man, I watched.
You like me?
I missed maybe 10 or 12 minutes out in the car going to get some stuff on, which game bored the hell out of me?
Saturday night game?
Saturday night.
Ravens-Bills?
I was out for a while on that one, yes. Ravens-Bills was not exactly a thriller. And that was a bit of a mess. So I missed a little, but I watched everything, and I actually wrote down my football observations from the weekend.
I love it.
What an amazing asset Aaron Rodgers has?
What's that?
Beyond the brain and knowing everything, those hands, those gigantic hands.
Oh, yeah.
When he runs around, he can put the football in his left hand and not worry about it because the thing is like, and when he scored the touchdown, basically it's just sticking it out. He can run. If there's nobody about to hit him, he can run with the ball in his left hand and not worry about it. You know,
he can palm the ball.
We used to worry about tiny Dante, this huge human being, and every time he'd fumble, we'd say he has small hands. This guy, 37, better than he's ever been. He's phenomenal. They don't get him a wide receiver. So he's got Devontae, and he and Devontae got this deal going where they're like the greatest combo ever. And the rest of them, he just throws it, and the tight end, by the way, he's made into a superstar, the guy we never heard of, Tanyan, who's a little crazy. But the rest of them, he just kind of hopes they might catch it when he hits them in the chest with it, right? You know, the MVS would drive you nuts, right? He drops one touchdown a game.
Yeah.
But he caught a couple this time. And then Equanimous St. Brown, who's been out most of the year, he throws to him. And then the other kid who dropped one who he likes.
Lazard. Iowa State kid, I think.
But it's like, you know, he goes to Gutekunst and says, get me Justin Jefferson, and they don't do it. You know, trade up and get Justin Jefferson.
If they had.
Oh, yeah, because he loved that. Domofsky told me that he was looking at tape. They had him look at tape of all these wide receivers that were available, and he said, get this one. Get this guy. This guy's going to be phenomenal. And they got, you know, they would have had to trade up and get him. But they traded up to get the quarterback, so they could have traded and got ahead of the Vikings, too. But they didn't do it, and but man, he's playing good.
The big hands are what Favre had, too. He had the enormous mitts.
Oh, did he really?
He had the same exact thing.
Yeah. I can't remember him carrying the ball around like Rodgers does. Because Rodgers, how often does Rodgers run around when he worries about where the other hand is, whether he gets it in his right hand or his left hand, he doesn't care. He doesn't have to secure anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's a phenomenal advantage. And I don't know if it's the love life, which some people suspect to getting away from Danica, or what it is, but his attitude seems so much. He's decided at 37, these are my guys. You know,
I think he likes the coach more. I think that helps.
Yeah, and even though at first, apparently last year, he didn't dislike the coach,
right,
but he didn't like all the ideas.
Right. I think he's either embraced the ideas or they dropped the ones he didn't like.
Yeah, that could be. But they're big in the motion. I mean, not like Kansas City, but they can do some things with the motion that are. You know, more than they used to do. This LaFleur's got a lot more movement in the
offense.
And
their interior offensive line can block.
That's even though they're missing line. The best left tackle in football.
But your guy,
our
Billy
guy,
Turner,
Billy Turner playing left there. Tackle.
Yeah.
I put this on Twitter, but I should throw it out before I forget it. When I was doing a piece on Josh Allen, I called Grant Olsen, who played with Carson Wentz at NDSU. And then was a grad assistant for a couple of years at Wyoming when Josh Allen was there, the linebacker, great linebacker. If he would have been, you know, the coach called up and begged the Gophers to take him kill and the guys. And they said that they didn't sign middle linebackers. They created middle linebacker. He was a middle linebacker, and he was like the greatest tackler in North Dakota State history. And so anyway, I called him up. And I asked him, you know, comparison, Wentz and Allen. He said, you know who had the greatest arm of any football player I ever played with? Billy Turner. He said,
really?
He played with him at NDSU. He said he could throw it 75 yards on a rope, but he was 280, you know, yeah. So they made a lineman out of him. But his father is Maurice, isn't it? I think Billy's father was an NFL or Maurice, and I think that's how he got here. He was briefly with the Vikings and then stuck around. But, yeah, he said Billy Turner was through this rocket. A lot of people gave Gutekunst heat for giving him a 3-year, $27 million contract or what it is, but, boy, they're lucky they got him. Well, the big controversy starting the season was they had injuries – at the guards and could Billy Turner take over at right guard. Mm-hmm. Now they got him playing left tackle. So they're, I can't see Tampa beating them. Do you, can you?
No,
not. It's going to be 12.
Not in Green Bay. I don't,
it's going to be 12 and the wind's going to be
Tom's going to hate it.
It's going to be, the wind's going to be blowing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's playing pretty good.
He is,
not as good as he
43
was.
In the snow, and if it's, you know, wind chill of 12 or something like that, that's going to make an impact.
What I was shocked was they have not had this is their fourth title game since the Favre's last game when they froze to death and Eli beat them. The previous three were all in a row.
I know. I thought the same thing.
Yeah. Now they beat the hell out of Atlanta, which is a good.
Right.
That team was happy to be in Atlanta in a dome, right?
Yes.
Because they were that kind of a team. But I didn't realize that the other, you know, one of them was Seattle, obviously, and then last year they got their ass kicked. I don't know. When the Vikings went in there and kicked the hell out of them and they were playing kind of mediocre.
That was that windy, weird day, too.
And I didn't like him that. At midseason, I didn't like him that
well. Defensively, I didn't at all.
No. I didn't like them. And then the last five or six times I've watched, when they're on, I watch them because I like Rodgers so much. And I started saying, you know, they're pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
They could win it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they could get in a shootout.
I think they're the best team in the conference.
Yeah, and they could get in a shootout with Kansas City and hang in there, I think, because Kansas City's defense is mediocre.
Yeah, that'd be fun to watch.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah, and I would assume that Mahomes is going to play. But
I hope he's going to play.
Other observations from the weekend. Baker Mayfield, better than I thought. Pretty accurate thrower.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you think? I was. He did. The numbers weren't big because they try to run the ball and do with Nick Chubb. But
I don't think he's bad. Here's my problem. How much would you want to pay him? Like, I don't want to write him the huge check, which is what I think he's going to want. But he's an effective quarterback.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like, I would rather, but I don't want to pay him what, like, Kurt gets paid.
No, you can't pay him 30, but.
But I think he's going to want that.
He probably will, and we'll see, you know, but you can only want what somebody will give you, right?
Yep. But in this league?
I don't know. Cleveland will panic and give it to him. But he's better than I thought. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can win with him, mm-hmm. you know. Go to the Super Bowl with him, I think. And especially when you look around and Brady and, you know, I mean, Brady's in our league, but there's, they got all the young quarterbacks in the AFC.
Yes, yeah,
So they're going to have a hard time. But he's better than I thought he was. And once again, we talked about it last week, the love of Andy Reid of his players. Did you see some of the quotes?
No.
We knew Big Red would come up with a play for us. Somebody, I don't know, it was Kelsey or one of them said.
Kelsey's a quote machine.
We knew Big Red had come up with a play for us.
How about that?
Stuff, yeah. Yeah, it is.
Fourth down, Chad Henne at quarterback.
Yeah, but you know what the great advantage for them was? Number one seed with a week to go. So they could let Henne, who hadn't played at all in like 2 years, mm-hmm. play that whole game. And that's why you do it that way if you can, right?
Yeah, it's part of backup, it for sure.
Yeah, A, you don't want something to happen to Mahomes right. like it did yesterday. But B, you want that guy to play.
Yeah.
So he gets in there and everybody on the team isn't saying, oh, bleep, what's this guy going to do? Now he made a stupid throw into the end zone. Threw a, you know, a punt down there. But I think when he comes into the, you know, because he played okay the previous week. When he comes into the huddle, it's not everybody looking at each other saying, we're screwed, you know.
That fourth down call, though.
Oh, it was.
How great was that?
yes, it was. And I know now, I think Barreros said on Twitter, and he's right. If the guy drops the ball, it's the dumbest play of all time, right? Everybody's killing him. But, you know, with his defense, Chris Jones started roaring there a little bit in the fourth quarter, and he's their stud. But you know, I make a yard. Mm-hmm. You know, make a yard and win the game. That's
the thing with Reed that I love, though. Is if it didn't work, he doesn't care what you think.
No,
that's what
true.
I like. He cares
what those guys think.
Yeah, he cares what the players think and what he thinks.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I like about him is 9 out of 10 coaches won't make that play call because they're afraid what people think.
Yeah,
outside
true.
Their building.
That's true. He is a persona, and I don't know the guy, but I was there when they lost to the Carolina Panthers in the Eagles' third time they'd lost the
0-3
NFC title game.
Yep.
And third in a row, right?
Yes.
Third in a row.
Yes.
And that one was,
that's
two
right.
of them were at home, I think. Not all three, right?
Yes, I think that's right. I think two of them are at home.
And I mean, he was a, you know, and he had the things going on with his kids who were the twins. One of them's, I think one's, are they both gone now?
One of them's gone. I think the other one's still alive.
Yeah, I mean, drug problems and all that stuff.
Yep.
And he was he's a completely different guy in Kansas City, you know, because, well, one reason is 95% of the times he has Pat Mahomes, so it's easy to be relaxed. But it's like, you know, my wife and I have been through hell, and we're gonna enjoy this now.
Yep.
So.
And it's KC too, which is a great place.
Oh sure.
I mean, he spent what 13 years
in Philly. Oh yeah.
Hearing all the crap and being second guessed constantly, he probably thinks Kansas City's a great walk in the park.
Now the guy that's hearing is Stefanski. Stefanski has a fantastic year. He's going to be the coach of the year, and people are mad that he punted.
Yeah, he shouldn't have punted
on 4th and 14.
There was like 4th and 9 from his own 32.
Yeah, but then didn't they go back 5 more yards?
No, not on that one, I don't think. I think it was 4th and 9. But anyway.
But he punts with 4.5 minutes to go.
Yeah, 4:23 left.
And they got Chad Penny Henne playing. I'm punting too. I'm punting too. And by the way, if Andy doesn't, if they don't make fourth and one, he can win the game. I think the odds are better.
Well, you got to stop him on fourth and what or third. Was
well,
it third?
Yeah,
third,
they let him run 14 yards.
Yeah,
that isn't Stefanski's fault.
That was the problem for the Browns.
Yes, but you get the ball back with 2 minutes, you know, you can tie the game, you know. So I think the odds of them in that situation, he was better off punt because he had his timeouts too. Right, and he had the 2 minute.
He was. Down, I think he was down to.
And he had chance. Now, if Mahomes is playing quarterback,
yeah,
you got to go.
I think he was. I thought he was down to one timeout by then, though. He used one foolishly on a challenge, which he never should have challenged. That's the thing. Second half, if you're in an important game, don't challenge a call unless you are told explicitly they got the call wrong.
Yeah, but he's got to challenge that play on the good. It wasn't the goal line play.
No, it was the goal line play
they challenged. They reviewed.
This was a reception by Kansas City on a Henny throw that the ball looked like it might have moved, but you weren't sure and it didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
keep your time out.
Everybody's upset about the helmet to helmet on the goal line. Nobody can make that call. And it wasn't really, it was a dive to stop the guy.
I hate that rule.
I hate it when the guy brings his head down to where you're aiming. When you're in motion,
yeah, you're.
What are you supposed to do? You know, you're trying to stop him from going to the goal line and you're trying to hit him in the knee.
My only problem is that crew, that officiating crew spent the first half throwing every flag they could.
Yeah, he's a wiener just like
don't throw flags. That's fine.
Yeah.
But then you can't miss a call. But no, the rule I can't stand, Pat, is if I fumble out of bounds in the field of play, I get the ball to spot the foul, right? If I fumble out of bounds through the end zone, you get the ball.
Yeah, but I think there should be punishment for that.
For fumbling out of the end zone?
I think there should be punishment.
But do you think
you should
lose the ball? Like back it back up to the.
Well, where do you want to put it?
Put it at the 20. If you're about to score, it's a 20 yard penalty then, which I'm fine with. I don't think you should lose the ball.
I don't mind them losing the ball because I hate the reach over anyway.
Oh, do you?
If I was a coach.
Yep.
And Stefanski said.
And Belichick actually says the same thing.
Stefanski said we have a rule not to reach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if it's fourth down and you're trying to score a touchdown. Right. He said, we have a rule not to reach, but these guys want to reach so they can get on TV. And everybody say, what a
And they
great
see
play.
The pylon, and if the ball basically hits the pylon, it's a touchdown. So,
yeah. If Rodgers wants to reach, I'll let him reach because he'd just go like Wilt Chamberlain reaching. You know? But I don't know. I think Stefanski's taking too much heat for punting because –
Well, you know what? He got the Browns on the map, and no one's done that in a long time.
No, good for him. No, and who's his defensive guy?
Joe Woods, who was Childress's cornerbacks coach.
Who's
big friends with Tomlin.
Yeah. Chili is...
His special teams guy is Mike Prefer, who was there forever.
Who was 1-0 as a coach in the playoffs, right?
Yes. You're right.
Yes, Prefer, of course. I think Prefer would be better thought of down here if it wasn't for his.
I think
if he wasn't for his problems with the punter, Cluey, right?
Oh yeah, for sure.
His homophobic
Chili's
slurs.
Fingerprints are all over these playoffs, aren't they?
Oh yeah, it's Chili. It's the Chili Bowl. It's how many? That's the other thing is I heard one reason that Bieniemy isn't getting a job is people are worried about the Andy Reid coaching tree. Doug Peterson, John Harbaugh. Peterson won a Super Bowl. There's a bunch of them.
They're concerned McDermott. About the same thing that Childress, which is I think they contend that Bieniemy's not calling the plays. He should get a job. It's ridiculous.
Well, I looked it up. We've hired how many so far? Five this offseason?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Saleh. Who's a Arab American? So yep. We got a little ethnicity here.
The Chargers just hired the Rams DC, who is a young white kid.
White kid, Arthur Smith. Chargers, yeah. Arthur Smith gets the job instead of Bieniemy.
Yep.
70% of the NFL players this year are black,
mm-hmm.
And right now we have Brian Flores, right, and mm-hmm. Mike Tomlin. Mm-hmm. We have two black coaches. It's mm-hmm. a joke.
Yeah,
it's a joke. It's a that. I mean, they put themselves in a situation now where they're reaching in. You know, if you're bringing in Urban Meyer, okay, who I think is going to fall on his ass, but that's okay. But you know, if you're just reaching into the pot and getting, if you're getting Arthur Smith a job instead of Eric Bieniemy, there's something wrong.
The best one is that the Lions are about to name Dan Campbell their head coach.
Yeah.
Who was working in, for the Saints. Dan Campbell is the most Lions hire.
He wasn't like a coordinator of anything.
No, and
right?
I have no idea what he brings.
No. Who's in the, they don't have a GM, though, yet. So are they bringing him in as a team, right? They don't have a GM, do they?
They named a black guy from who I think was working for the Rams as their GM last week.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, so I suppose they figured can.
But Dan Campbell.
Yeah, that's a terrible hire, you know.
But explain this. Why
could have had PJ, for God's sake.
Why is this league feel it necessary to name coaches who are being eliminated? Like, if you have to wait till after the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And you've talked to Eric, right?
Yes.
And he says, I'll go there.
Yes.
What's he going to do if he gets into the office today that he can't do in 2 weeks?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I've never understood that.
No, it's not. It's just it's an excuse, you know. Now, the Lions, they boldly got Patricia before the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, and then
they live to regret it. But, I mean, how does that guy get a job and Eric Bieniemy doesn't?
I have no idea.
You know, or some other smart black assistant coach.
I have no clue.
It's incredible. It's incredible. And, by the way, of the assistants they've been, I mean, Stefanski did well. But one guy who's done pretty well is Brian Flores of that whole Belichick coaching tree.
He's the best
tree.
One, I think.
Of the whole Belichick right? coaching tree, yeah. And if you're going to hire some white guy, you know, and you're the Lions, Dan Campbell instead of Josh McDaniels, you know? I mean, Josh McDaniels is, you know, give him a second chance, right?
Yeah.
He's, you know, he was too young when he got the first job.
But, yeah, he was a punk.
But, you know, it is Lions. We want somebody that's fired up, I guess, like Jim Schwartz. Isn't he one of these hard-nosed?
Oh, yeah. He's going to come in, yeah.
Tough guy and get them all.
He's another former player who's going to come in and lay down the law.
Yeah. So who do we have last? Who did they have last night?
Who's that?
I mean, who? So we had Patricia and then, we put Bevel in there. But Patricia, Patricia had no PR skills.
Correct.
So this guy's going to have PR skills. That's the idea.
Yeah, I think this guy's going to be, is going to be gregarious and, you know, football-y. Patricia was just sort of an ass.
So, you know, coaching in all sports, you do the opposite, right?
Right. But why wouldn't you go out
Tibbs
and get...
Tibbs is grumpy, so we let Ryan be the coach. Yeah. And, you know, everybody does it the same way.
But I just don't get this one. And so it looks like that Eric and the guy who's the Bills OC, Brian Daboll, right?
Yeah.
Daboll.
And
they're not going to get jobs because their teams are playing too long, but yet they're considered to be two of the brighter offensive minds in a league that stresses offense.
They have turned the whole game over to offense, basically, except for the Ravens.
So why wouldn't you want these guys?
I don't know. What I saw of the Ravens-Bills game, Josh, everybody's got the Josh Allen, fever right now, and he won another game, and he's an interesting kid, but I was not impressed with him. It's just he was more impressive than Lamar, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So it was Allen didn't exactly. If Mahomes plays, I can't see Buffalo winning a road game.
No, probably not.
Because their defense is mediocre.
And guess who stopped Jackson on Saturday night? Our guy Leslie Frazier.
Yes.
That was Leslie's game plan that stopped Lamar Jackson.
We've got to stop the run. Stop him from running the ball.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the key.
Yes.
If you could contain his their run game, you're in great shape.
And the Houston, supposedly, he's going to, is it Houston that's going to give him an interview?
Yes, they're going to talk to Leslie. I think they're supposed to talk to him on Monday.
Who's going to interview him? Deshaun Watson?
They're a mess.
Yeah. If I'm, you know who's going to try to get Deshaun, and he might probably not have the cachet to do it? The guy next door.
Who's that?
Well, Peyton, to replace Breeze.
Oh, God, yeah. If they could.
Yeah. I don't think they don't, you know, they're not going to be drafting high enough.
I bet he's going to the Jets or the Dolphins, don't you?
Dolphins is what they're saying.
Because if you're the Dolphins, you can send their first round pick back to them. You probably send them two as well.
Yeah.
Which I would do in a heartbeat.
Oh, I'd give them both of them this year. And, you know, you got theirs, right?
Mm hmm. Yeah.
I'd give them both my number ones this year and. Another one next year, and you got to take – who do they got for a quarterback down there? Who played?
Dolphins?
Who played?
Tua and Fitzpatrick.
Well, that's what you could do, send them Tua.
Yeah.
Give them Tua.
And they'd probably take him.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet they would. Yeah, that's – they probably – if they want to do it, they can do it, yeah. Tua's kind of dangerous to trade him, but he's pretty good.
Yeah, but if I can get Deshaun Watson, I'm probably set for 8 years.
Yeah, that's true. It is interesting that Houston, I saw Rand wrote something last week. Houston looking pretty good a year ago, right? They won a playoff game. They got a good NBA team.
Yeah.
And now Harden, big fat Harden leaves, and Watson decided that Watson apparently hates the owner. Huh?
He hates the guy. So their whole thing is they fired O'Brien, but they didn't. Fire, I believe his name is Jack Eastby.
Oh, yeah.
And he's there like VP. Mm-hmm. But he is a former Patriots employee who was like the Patriots pastor. It's a bizarre story.
Mm-hmm.
But he, and they claimed that he was not going to have a ton of input, but then he got to the guy, McNair, who owns the team, and maintained his input.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's just this weird, but it's like this guy who was a pastor is now running the team. And the players are all like, what the hell?
Oh, that's what he wants.
Watt's next. Yeah. Watt's going to get out of there next.
Yeah.
JJ ain't going to stick around for this either.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, it's...
be great for columns.
Now, are they... No, who fired the gal PR person?
That was the Texans.
Texans, yeah.
Yes.
Because she didn't fit the culture because she tweeted anti-Trump stuff.
Yes.
And they didn't like it.
Yes.
Right.
And I think they fired her like 10 games in.
She did it on her private account, but they were mad because, I mean, McNair was the old man was a big Republican donor.
So. Mm-hmm.
So that's, when you let the political atmosphere decide your decisions, you got.
But Rand's right. You got the Texans, the Rockets.
Uh-huh.
Astros are okay, but they're still sort of running joke.
By the way, Nets, Harden starts with a triple-double. He's going to pull something. I mean, not a muscle of some kind.
You might pull a fat muscle like
he's
you or I.
He's waddling around out there, you know. How about Kyrie, though? Nobody knows.
Well, I guess he might come back this week.
Supposedly tonight, today. Okay. But maybe not. But he doesn't like Nash.
Apparently. Is that the problem?
Well, he didn't like they hired Nash.
Okay.
I think he wanted Jock Vaughn to get the job.
Okay, I didn't. You know? Okay.
Yeah, but it doesn't, you know, if Harden wants the ball, I hate to sound like ESPN here and one of their panelists because they talk about this for hours, apparently. But... Harden wants the ball 70% of the time, and Irving wants the ball 70% of the time. That's 140%. That doesn't work, right?
Well, and what is Kyrie's deal? He's never happy.
No, he's not. He's crazy. Well, see, people still don't know if he thought if he was just having fun saying the Earth was flat, or if it came from his 1 year of Duke education.
Yep.
I think he was a one and done.
Yes.
Maybe he was a two and done.
No, I think he was one. I know. I think he lasted.
We could have had him. Right? No, they took him ahead of.
Yeah, I think he went before the.
Who'd we get? Derek? Derek, right?
Is it that far back? Hold on a second.
I believe Derek. It was. the Viking or the Wolves had the best odds to win the lottery. Yeah,
of course they didn't.
And they didn't win the lottery, and they which was Kyrie.
They ended up with Derek, right?
I believe that is correct. Derek Williams.
I'll find it.
Yeah. But that was the situation was they were supposed to have the best odds to win the lottery and figure they
you know, everybody would give Tibbs hell because he'd get his rookie and not play him. How about Adelman? He got Derek Williams number two
Derek
and didn't
Williams
play
went,
him.
Went number two.
Yeah.
You're right. Kawhi went 15 in that draft.
Yes. Well, if you want to know the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Clay went 11, yeah.
The Minnesota Timberwolves in back-to-back years had 4-2 and ended up with Wes Johnson and Derek Williams.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
And we don't even have to talk about those guys. So, anyway. It's those are my hard-hitting weekend football thoughts. But I did watch quite a bit, and that was
it was fun.
I got to tell you, I'm rooting for Green Bay.
Yeah,
because I love Rodgers, and he should have two Super Bowls. You know, he should have Rodgers.
Now Tampa,
Rodgers is better than Favre by I wouldn't say a sustained. And substantial margin, but a pretty decent margin.
He is definitely, without question, a much smarter quarterback.
Yeah,
like Favre would make the play to sabotage you.
It is
Rodgers
funny.
Won't make that play.
He's not with this collection. He's a little more. He doesn't shy away. He doesn't throw interceptions, but he doesn't shy away like those two in the end zone.
Yep.
Back to back.
Yeah, which I was shocked by the second one, weren't you?
Could have been picked off, but he wouldn't make that throw a couple of years ago. I mean, because he's always like, I think he must be proud of the fact he's going to retire with the lowest percentage of interceptions of anybody in history. That's Allen, not physically, but his approach looks like. Back in the day when, hey.
Oh, he's got some Favre to him.
Back in the day, talking 60s, 70s, it was, you know, Tommy had a pretty good game. He threw three interceptions, but he had a pretty good game. Now it would be, get rid of him.
Oh, yeah.
He throws too many interceptions.
Yeah, Josh is not afraid to screw up.
No, he's not. And he's,
now, Tampa, though, has what? Winfield. And Tyler Johnson,
who
and that catch by Tyler Johnson yesterday
was outstanding.
Was a hell of a catch.
And they haven't thrown to him at all because they brought in, for some reason, they brought in the moron Antonio Brown, who's done nothing for them.
Brady loves him.
From having him for 2 weeks?
Yes, he loves him.
Yeah, but he never throws to him.
I know, but
he doesn't play now. He's hurt.
But he loves him.
Well,
Tyler Johnson is going to be good.
He'll be a possession receiver.
Yes.
He should be. He'll get you. You know, not. I don't think he's got quite as much speed as Thielen, but he'll be that type of receiver. Mm-hmm. I would think. Yeah, I would think so too. Yeah, you know, who would like him? Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
he'd be using him right now.
Yes,
he'd be using
immediately.
Him.
You're right.
He would be using him right now. But it was a, you just sit around and wait for Mahomes to get cleared. It didn't look like a concussion hit, did it?
No.
I'm surprised.
Well, his head got, I think his head snapped, but I don't think he took a hit at all directly in the helmet on that play.
No, he didn't.
But I think his head got whiplashed.
Now, back in the day.
He'll be cleared to play.
Oh, yeah. Back in the day.
He'll be cleared to play.
Back in the day, I got a little woozy. They would have gave him a little smelling salts and said, go get him, buddy.
We would be excited right now by the fact that he came back into that game,
yes, right.
Won it, and had no recollection of the second half.
Yes, right.
We would have been so excited by the fact that Pat Mahomes can't remember the second half.
I've told you about my brother, the fullback for the Folder Raiders. And this is back, you know, so 57 maybe, fall of 57, and he was the quarterback, but they were playing way over in Laverne. That's back to you. You're not traveling all the way over there to see a game, for God's sakes. We'll find out what happened when he gets home, right?
Yep.
And we shouldn't have been playing Laverne because they were twice as big, but back then you played whoever was close to you, you know. There was eight-man football in the smaller towns, but we played. One year, I think my brother played Wyndham, Worthington, and Laverne in his non-conference games, all of which were double or triple the size of Fulton. But and usually, if they had a road game, you wouldn't see Michael. You would have to wait till the next morning to get the report on what happened, because he and his buddies would do what they did, whatever that was. It involved lucky strikes and other stuff, I know that. But he was pounding them when he was 15 and lasted till 80. So, but I remember he came home one night, and I was shocked. And we shared a bedroom in the back of the back of the place we lived. And I was in there reading or doing something, and he showed up like at 11 o'clock. I said, "What the hell are you doing here?" And he said, "I can't remember anything that happened after the middle of the second quarter." But he played the rest of the game.
Yep.
Played the rest of the game. He said, "I can't remember. I still can't." He says, "I'm starting to get pieces of it, but I can't remember." He said, "I got kicked in the head in the old-time helmets." And he couldn't remember. Of course, they had four plays, you know. So it wasn't like he had to look at his armband to see whether they handed it off left or right. You know, the 62 dive and the 52 dive and, you know, stuff like that.
Yep.
They had four plays. But I remember, I've always remembered that, saying, the hell's that? What would have caused that? And, but he played the rest of the game. Yep. And played defense, too, you know, so. And I mean, this was also a 48-minute game. And
you think about the guys who return to games concussed.
Yeah, and I'm sure he went over. Darwin Dime was the coach, and he said, "Hey, I can't remember the plays." You'll be okay. I don't even think they had summer smelling salts then. They just kind of, put a towel on your head.
Quarterbacks probably played concussed the majority of the 70s and 80s, Pat.
Oh, yes, yeah. It's unreal. Yeah, I mean, what we think of, it's funny that any of these guys have made it past 65 years old.
Yes.
It? You know? And the guys with decent memories are, you know, really, like when Freddie McNeil died, Freddie had ALS. And they, by all, I think they did. He also had that brain disease, and which are related to each other. Sure. There's no doubt about it. But we got Matt Blair on the radio. But this was like 4 or 5 years ago, Freddie died. And they were, Mutt and Jeff, they were like the best of friends. And I remember his wife saying, "Yeah, he'll do it, but Give him a minute, when you ask him a question, give him a minute." Because he's, he was starting to struggle then, and God, 2 years later, he just died this past year. But 2 years later, and he knew, he knew it was coming, because it was, they were losing. And what was it, early 60s, I think, right?
Yeah.
Maybe 60, whatever.
Yeah.
It was. So anyway. It was, it's amazing as many of them as have survived as they have.
And they all used to go back in.
Oh, God, yes.
Nobody would be like, "I'm done for the concussion protocol." Didn't
and
exist.
If you were an offensive lineman.
Oh, you had one constantly.
You couldn't use your hands, and they'd wind up and hit you with their forearm, and everybody'd say, "Oh, look at that, boy. Isn't that guy tough? Isn't that John Matuszek tough for hitting a guy with his forearm in the side
Al Zato?
Of his head?" Yeah, Al Zato, those guys.
Same thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable. What the, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. It was only 3, 4, 5 years ago that ESPN was doing the lit them up or whatever.
Jacked them up
thing. And somebody finally said, "We're getting sued here for hundreds of millions of dollars for people who can't remember what planet they're on."
If you go back and look at the quarterback hits on tape from the 80s, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like they tried to kill him.
Oh, hell yes. Yeah, it is.
Now you literally, if the quarterback delivers the ball and I shove you, that's a flag.
You're right. Who would have finished the game back then.
Oh, Mahomes.
If every time you took a hit in the head, you couldn't.
Mahomes stumbles off, comes back in, and we would have celebrated it.
Yes.
Oh,
right.
Look at that, Pat Mahomes. Not only is he talented, but he's tough.
Is he tough?
And in 25 years, he wouldn't know his name or his kids' names.
I've got a buddy, Bob, who has 3 New Year's resolutions every year, and truth be told, he rarely succeeds at accomplishing his goals. He's not alone, by the way. Only 10% of us do accomplish our New Year's resolutions. Then it hit me. Bob should call the Canopy Group. Why? Bob wants to read more, and I'm not going to be able to read to him. Bob wants to lose 20 pounds, and I'm sure not the guy to help him with that. But I can help him with his third resolution, and that is to save money. How's he going to do that? By handing this resolution over to the 30 professionals at the Canopy Group. They will help Bob save money on his home and auto insurance and have better coverage at the same time. There's 16 companies assure Bob's success, not only just this year, but they will do this for Bob every year to be sure he has the best coverage at the best price. New clients save more than $800 annually. Hand your New Year's resolution over to the Canopy Group and be part of the 10% with good old Bob who succeed in accomplishing at least one of their New Year's resolutions. Call 800-967-3389 or visit thecanopygroup.com. All you Bobs out there, get with it. 800-967-3389. Or visit thecanopygroup.com. I got one other theory.
Yeah.
Drew Brees is cooked, obviously. That was brutal to watch yesterday. But I don't think there's ever been a quarterback that the difference between him and Brady is Brady physically is a quarterback,
mm-hmm.
you know, tall and, you know, and long. And he can, you know, and he's still okay. Mm-hmm. And he's still got some arm. But there's nobody ever who had to throw through openings and step into his throws. And there's nobody ever in the history of the game that's been as good as him in the modern game compared to the physical abilities that they had, don't you think, Brees? I mean, the physical abilities he had. He had the mental abilities.
Yeah, he was damn smart.
He had the, you know, he had an okay arm. But a couple of the throws he made yesterday, you could see it was like the guys got their arms up and he threw it. He knew he had to guide it through the arm, through that opening of these taller guys. He was, was he now, Brady's going by him. For the most yards ever.
They were going back and forth.
I think he retired. He'll be done. I don't know if he's one or two as he retires here. It's incredible. It really is. What he got out of that ability. And, you know, all of that, and he didn't play for like, you know, for a while. They had him on the bench.
Yeah. Well, the trade was what? He got hurt with the Chargers.
Yeah.
And then the year that Dante forced his way out of the Vikings,
mm-hmm.
the Dolphins were talking to the Chargers about Brees and the Vikings about Dante. And I think Nick Saban was told by the Dolphins doctors at the time that Brees, who had a shoulder problem, right?
Yeah.
Was not going to come back. Don't trade for Brees or sign him. Go get Culpepper.
Yes. And I remember why was I in Miami? In September of that year. In Florida for Dante.
With the Dolphins?
And I remember sitting in a bar. I went to a bar to see what the Dolphins fans thought of him.
Yep.
And they were excited.
Yep.
And he played terrible. I think it might have been their opener.
Oh, yeah. He was cooked.
Yeah, he was. And I don't know if it was physically or what it was. I mean, he was trying to lose weight, but he got too big.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I always said if, you know, what they should have done is when he was, they were talking about him being 270, they should have, when he got, he should have spent that rehab when he and Chili were fighting about the rehab. He should have spent it losing 30 pounds.
Greatest Chili story of all time. Where he talked about the fact that Culpepper was, what, at a strip mall?
Yeah,
and he said, I can envision a Chinese restaurant.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And he was in like some total fitness gym.
And we all got down on Chili for not properly treating Culpepper, but he was right.
Oh, yeah, Dante was Dante.
He was right about Randy Moss when he came back, too, by the way.
Yes, he was an idiot. Yes, he was.
And it wasn't Chili that Randy Moss revolted against. I mean, he used him as the target, but it was, I'm not going to get paid here either.
Right. And the Vikings, by the way, were right not to pay him. They just shouldn't have acquired him.
Yes. And the reason he left New England and got on Belichick's bad side is he stopped trying because they weren't going to pay him either. So now he comes here. If you trade for him, you got to know we got to pay him.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, he won't do us any good.
Yep.
If he's pouting in New England where they go to Super Bowls, he's sure as hell going to pout here if you don't pay
him. The problem, though, is that Belichick tipped his hand because Moss was basically done.
Yeah.
Like, the skills had just gone.
Yeah.
And so, but the Vikings didn't pay attention to that.
Who was, that was because Sidney Rice wasn't playing, right?
Yes.
They were going to replace Sidney.
Yes.
Now, Sidney again, he stopped playing.
He wanted to get paid too.
He decided to have surgery because they wouldn't pay him.
Yeah.
It always
comes down to money.
Many more of those problems in 2010 had to do with money than they did with Chili not getting along with people.
Danielle Hunter. That's who's next as far as, if you don't pay me, that's fine, but I ain't playing.
That is a
that's the next
untenable
one.
Situation for a team to be in because you can't pay him when he did not play this year. You can't pay him on 2 years ago before the neck injury.
Yeah. But what do you do?
But look at Kyrie Irving. Logic doesn't always,
athletes now have control. We don't like it, but they have control.
No. If they're good enough.
Oh,
but,
sure.
But in NFL, the player, the owners have control of 88% of them. There's the 12% of difference makers.
But what I'm saying is if you are a star player for your team and you decide that you aren't happy, you have control.
Yep. So I, being out of the loop as far as the, not only, I told you this the other day, not only don't I have FSN, I don't have the NHL Network on YouTube that I can find. I go up and down.
How do you go on? How do you live?
Two nights a week, they're on the NBC Sports Network, right?
Yeah, like three games today.
Tuesday and Saturday, or Tuesday and something.
They do have games, yes.
So, greatest season opening back-to-back victories in franchise history. They score and by the way, give poor Suter credit for that goal. It tipped.
This is your favorite goal. It tipped his ass or something.
It tipped his uniform.
This is a racing goal.
It might not even change direction. And then they win that one. And then now I haven't seen the Magnus or whatever his name is, Johansson's winner. Was that his?
Marcus Johansson?
Marcus Johansson.
I like Magnus Johansson. That's not bad.
Was that as dramatic as Kaprizov's?
No, but it was set up by Kaprizov, and so he did all of the work and basically got it to Johansson, who shot a knuckle puck, and it basically went by the
Did poor old beat up Jonathan Quick play both those games?
Yes. Oh, we're going to be, yes.
He's their
goalie. Of course he did. He wants to play, I think.
He's their boon. Yes. God, he's got to be 50.
I'm telling you. Oh, yeah. But I'm telling you.
He's a tall gump.
Royce, the important thing is this. This division has the three California teams who all are going to stink.
The Ducks are bad, too.
Yes. And the Coyotes, who aren't great.
San Jose's terrible.
So you got three good teams
so
and the Wild.
We're worried about our travel, but we're in the right division.
Exactly.
Colorado, St. Louis, and the
Golden
Minnesota.
Knights.
Yeah.
And then, yes.
And so
the Wild is primed.
I saw the Blues beat the Avs and then got beat 8-0 the next night.
8-0.
Who was it? Did we have Jake Allen back in the Nets or what?
No, he's gone now.
He's gone, yeah.
He's in Montreal. They've got, Carter Hutton. Or no. They've got, who's the kid that played well in the Stanley Cup?
Oh, Bennington.
Bennington.
Yeah.
Bennington and then some hot shot backup.
And how's our goalie?
You know, he looks pretty good. He's given up. They've all been Royce-type weird goals so far. Tips, off breezers. But here's the thing that I like. I'm not waiting for the fluky goal now. With Dubnyk, you were always waiting for the weird goal. Some guy would shoot it from the corner and it would bounce off Suter and then pinball off somebody, and then he would miss it. I like our goaltender because I think that aside from the ordinary goals scored, he's going to stop most pucks.
So I was at the Gopher game Friday night as they were setting themselves up for a suite.
That's impressive.
They did. Yeah, well, there's nobody there. So there's like five reporters, so they might as well. And Patrick Micheletti, who's my hockey guy, says the Kings stink. So
yeah, they're not.
We shouldn't be giving up three goals to them. But
he's correct about that. The Kings do stink. The Sharks stink, and the Ducks stink.
What happened to the Sharks? They put all their money into wily old veterans like Brent Burns, and they
can't
play
anymore. Carlson looks awful. The man they got from the Sens, Eric Carlson.
He was going to win the cup.
Yeah, he was going to be their guy, and I think they signed him to they signed him to a long term extension. He looks terrible.
Hey, this is Ricey, and I'd like to welcome a new partner here to Ricey Unchained, EcoFun Motorsports. It's located in Forest Lake. If you enjoy bike rides on a summer day, but maybe your knees aren't what they used to be, that would be me, and you still want the exercise benefit and need a little help on those pesky inclines, then I recommend that you talk with Tim Bloom, the owner of EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Tim and his family will personally help you select the e-bike that is right for you. They will deliver that one to your front door in the metro area also. You might be thinking, hey, it's January in Minnesota. Maybe you need a bike at your winter place. Right now, Bentelli e-bikes and Yamaha Power Assist bikes are at their lowest prices of the year. Check out EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Guess what? Joe Suchere has been telling you about EcoFun Motorsports and Garage Logic, and it's only like 8 minutes away from Grundhoffer's, the meat place. You go to Hugo, you go to Grundhoffer's, get your meat, then you go to EcoFun Motorsports and get your exercise bike. EcoFun also carries the full line of Yamaha scooters, motorcycles, and a wide variety of Yamaha ATVs, including ATVs for kids. Check out EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake and online at EcoFunMotorsports.com. That's ECOFUN, one word. And if you get up there, tell them that Ricey Unchained sent you. Hockey should be like every other sport, like baseball has become. Don't give big money to guys in their 30s.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah. I mean,
absolutely.
Hockey, they play longer.
Yes, but they're.
But if you're 32 and you come to me and say, I need a new contract, I'm going to say, here you go. 1 year, $6 million.
Yep.
How's that? Does that handle it?
You're right. I'd pay guys in their 20s.
Yeah.
And that's it.
I mean, because the guy they got now, Kaprizov.
Yep.
I got to try to work on
Kaprizov.
This. Kaprizov. I got the Z in there now instead of the S, so that's good. But he's the deal, huh?
Yes, he's going to be the deal.
Okay, well, that's good. Too bad. Are we going to let anybody in this week?
For fans, no.
No,
not Press yet. Box, yes.
Not yet.
Not yet.
No fans yet.
As far as I know, no fans.
They're hoping to have
I think the only teams allowing fans in the National Hockey League might be, Dallas might be, the Coyotes are for sure, and I guess Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Florida. We don't care.
And they packed.
We don't
care. Packed a house in Florida.
Yeah, right.
This
cares?
Whole thing's fake.
Who cares? Yes. Jeff Barnett doesn't think it's fake.
No, it passed
Jeff
away.
Jeff Barnett
huh?
was in Fort Myers. He's a Fort Myers guy, 74 years old, good physical condition. Gets it last year around Thanksgiving or so, and you know he never
Brutal.
Really never really shook it, and then. Merrick and he were like joined at the hip, mm-hmm. and he Merrick saw him at Christmas time with his wife who's from here, and he said, hey, I'm not feeling great. I had it, and then boom, it came back or something. And
that's a scary thing.
And he
like it comes
up,
back.
He ended up getting the heart thing. He ended up getting the bad heart out of it, and then they put him on a ventilator. And one day, and he was dead at 1 a.m. the
really?
Next morning. Yeah, 74, pretty good shape. And, of course, the shocking death we're all dealing with here, Tom Kelly Jr., 42 years old, was down playing. He was visiting his mother and his stepfather, and, I mean, his sister might be down there, too, I'm not sure, in the Phoenix area, and he was out at Scottsdale golfing with three of the Walshes, you know, that old St. Paul Irish family connection. Mm-hmm. These were Hill Murray guys. There's the Cretan Walsh.
I was going to say, I remember the Cretan Walshes.
And the Maurer, you know, Nick Maurer was one of his best buddies. And he's from the Hill Murray, the Maurers, not the Cretan. But there's either the Hill Murray. But all these guys are all intermeshed. And then he played baseball at St. Thomas, and he has that the national championship team in 01. And he has that connection, too, with all those St. Paul guys.
Right.
And, you know, the word didn't. It happened Saturday. He was missed his tee time, and what I'm told is his buddy the Walshes said, "Well, somebody go see what's going on with Tom," and they went up there and they got in the room, and he was unresponsive, as they say.
Really?
And but yeah, it was. I talked to Nick Maurer, who's a very close friend of his, was supposed to be on the golf trip but couldn't make it, but they were going to play again in March in Florida or something. And, just a bad deal. He was, the interesting thing about him is he was always around a clubhouse from the time he was eight, probably, but he was working with TK's, you know. He was one of the bat boy clubhouse assistant guys, but
right.
He was not lounging around in the old man's office. He was working, and they all, you know, everybody knew him, and you know, I don't know if he worked all, you know, I know with 91, I looked up the column I wrote, 91, sitting in TK's office, mm-hmm. like at 1:30 in the morning after they'd won game 7 in 91. And there was the big discussion was about how their fantasy football team had done that day. And I got a passage in there that Tom Jr. is sitting in a corner. He's 12 years old. And he says, "I don't know why you didn't play Derek Fenner." You know, they're discussing. He says, "Why didn't you play Fenner? Because Fenner scored three touchdowns that day." He says, "I don't know." And Lunch McKenzie, who was the equipment manager down in the visitors, Concordia,
yeah,
St. Paul coach forever, and TK's buddy, was in there with him. And he said, "Hey, Junior, we had other things on our mind today coming into this game, you know, game 7. So, but half the discussion was on that. And, but, I'd forgotten, but I looked up, you know, Twins Tom Kelly Jr. in that column I'd written in,
right.
in 91 popped up because I reran it in 13 or something like that. So I've never liked a column more of the 10,000 I've written than that one, because in that club, in that room with my mouth shut, just seeing the players come in, you know, Chili comes in and they all come in.
Wouldn't get that now, would you?
Bush Jr. Ortiz comes
Rocco
in.
Rocco wouldn't let you sit there and
no,
watch
No, I
the...
don't think so.
Well, that's
it
really
said
sad,
two though. Reporters. It said there were two of us. I can't remember who the hell was the other one. Might have been Shooter. I don't know. Might have been Shooter.
I was going to say, who from the Pioneer Press in 91?
I can't remember who it was. I can't remember. I just remember sitting against the wall and making notes.
Wow. That is really sad, though. So 42.
42, yeah. Jeez. I haven't talked to Tom yet. I always thought I'd give him a day. I'm sure that thousands of people are calling him and contacting him, and he's such a...
What a couple of years.
Oh, God.
This has been just brutal.
Yeah. He's... I haven't checked. I shouldn't say this, but he's had a couple of problems, too, I guess. So, anyway, it's... it's brutal, but I don't think this is COVID connected in any way.
No, I'm just saying the past 2 years or so have just been brutal across the board.
Yeah, it's really
COVID
bad.
Included, but not exclusively.
No, it's been brutal. So,
all right,
all right.
With that, we will talk to you next week.
I think we went long here.
That's okay.
What do you think, Declan?
The podcast.
Did we go long, Declan?
Oh, yeah, I didn't go long. It just happens to be the day my laptop charger dies. But, yeah, no, you're fine.
Okay. Well, you know what? I've left a few of those in hotels. There's no worse feeling than you're looking into your computer on the airplane. You're driving back from Oakland.
I lost my computer cord in an airplane once.
And you start going.
It fell out and I didn't know it.
I left mine in the press box at the Oakland Coliseum.
Oof.
When the wife and I were then going to stick around for like 4 or 5
minutes.
I think it was on the way to the U.S. Open.
Okay.
We were going to cover the U.S. Open.
Oh, boy.
And I got on the train, went out to Oakland ballpark, because I'd been there on Sunday, I think.
You find it?
And had to talk my way into the Oakland ballpark on the train. And that train goes through some shaky areas, right?
Yes, it does.
From downtown San Francisco.
Yeah.
Walked in there, wasn't there, went down to the security office, and they handed it to me.
Oh,
wow.
Otherwise,
talk about 11th hour reprieve.
Yes, it cured a lot of cursing, that's for sure, because I don't know.
I can't imagine you cursed.
No, that is hard to believe.
All right, talk to you.
All right, see you.
If you have questions about your retirement savings, do what I did and work with a person that knows what the heck is going on. Work with Josh Arnold, Mr. Money Talk. My guy Josh will give you straight talk and not sugar-coated advice. Learn how you can benefit from Josh's focused approach by setting up your own no-cost, no-obligation 48-minute consultation to review your investments. Call Josh now, 952-925-5608.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Only on Netflix. Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match 2 of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.